And now we go live to President Donald Trump's press conference.
Listen, everyone. I know everyone's got questions about the wall. They want to know about the budget. They want to know about North Korea.
Ooh, over here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I noticed you were wearing some new socks, Mr. President. Where are those from?
That's right. These are the most luxurious socks you'll ever see in your entire life. They're from Mack Weldon. MackWeldon.com. It's great. It's wonderful. Everyone says Mack Weldon's amazing.
Mack Weldon, well, what do they believe in?
They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, simple shopping. I like things simple. Simple, like my hair. It's fantastic.
What can you get on the website?
You can get anything on the website. I'm talking shirts. You can get shoes, undershirts. Believe me. You can even get hoodies and sweatpants. Lord knows I love sweatpants. Oh my God, I love sweatpants. They're amazing.
I wear a lot of underwear, but I sweat a lot. So I need underwear that makes me not sweat and smell.
Totally understand. I play golf every weekend. Normally I smell. Normally it's horrible. But Mack Weldon has silver underwear and shirts. Naturally antimicrobial. That means you don't smell. Oh, antimicrobial. That's a word.
Final question, Mr. President. Are these clothes comfortable?
Oh, they're amazingly comfortable. Look at me. Normally, I look fat as hell.
But what if I don't like my first pair?
That's okay. If you don't like your first pair, you can keep it. They'll still refund you. They don't even ask questions. And I love that. I love not being asked questions because normally I don't know the answers.
I want to say something too.
You shut up.
I am Melania.
I get her and the maid mixed up all the time. It's
I like Mack Weldon too because of their socks and the underwear. Sometimes the Donald lets me wear shirts.
All right, no more questions. I'm signing an executive order right now. Everyone has to go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off all your men's merchandise using promo code ALN. MackWeldon.com, 20% off, promo code ALN. Bigly, believe me.
Last question. Why is Melania in that cage?
Please help me.
Someone let Melania out eventually.
Please help me.
Give her a food dish or something.
Please. Let me sleep in the bed.
Do we have a banana? She loves bananas.
If you like clothes that feel good and are the most comfortable clothes of all time, go to MackWeldon.com right now and pick from underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants that will make you feel good about your life. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and use promo code ALN and get 20% off your order. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code ALN, and get 20% off your order. I'm telling you, these clothes are the shit. Brad and I love them. We wear them all the time. Brad?
I'm wearing mine right now.
Yep, and actually you're wearing only the underwear.
Damn right.
Hey everybody, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Great episode today. Great comedian, great dude, neurotic dude, hilarious dude. And you know what? I say neurotic meaning in a good way. One of his albums is called Nervous. The other one is New Phone Who Dis. His style, I guess he's got that neurotic, Jewy East Coast stuff inside of him, but it's mellowed out since I've known him. I've known him for a while, and I guess he was more high-strung back in the day, but now he's leveled out. He's in a great relationship. His comedy's better than I think it's ever been, and he's in a good place. And he's a hilarious dude, and he killed it on the podcast today. I'm talking about John Campanelli is our guest, first-time ALN guest. I've been trying to have him on for a while, and we finally did it. And all I will say is his story about love, his first love, might be one of the best stories I've ever heard. Definitely the best story about love on this podcast. So that's all I'm going to say. So sit back and fucking enjoy this one. Follow John on Twitter at JohnCampanelli1. He tells you why John Campanelli was taken. Go get his albums, Nervous and New Phone Who Dis, on iTunes. And John Campanelli, I think, .com for all his tour dates. Great episode. Super fun. Glad John came by. He'll be back on soon, no doubt, because we just scratched the surface. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. This weekend, I am in Seattle for some gigs and my niece's birthday. And then next week, oh boy, Austin, Texas, August 16th through the 19th, Cap City Comedy Club, first time there. So pumped to be in Austin at Cap City Comedy Club.
If you're nearby, come see me. I'm so pumped to be there. Last time I was there was for Moon Tower, and now I'm back at Cap City Comedy Club in Austin, Texas, August 16th through the 19th. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then next weekend, after that, August 23rd through the 6th, I will be at Zany's in Rosemont, Illinois. That's Chicago, baby. Zany's, August 23rd through the 26th. The Rosemont location, Zany's. Come see me. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams, on the road. You know it. Trying to get that third hour together. Before, I don't think he's going to shoot it before his wedding, but he's getting close. And he's getting married soon. Holy shit. So proud of my son. Brad Williams this weekend is going to be, oh, you know it. You love it. You know this city. Tampa, Florida, baby. We all love Tampa. Brad's going to be there Thursday through Saturday at the Improv in Tampa, Florida. Get your tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past episodes and merch. For the time being, the new merch we have coming is going to blow your fucking mind, and we're going to do some cool commercials for it, and a lot of teases coming up. New AboutLastNightPodcast.com will be up in, I think, man, we're hoping 10 days, but it might be 2 weeks. But right now, again, AboutLastNightPodcast.com for merch and past episodes. Next week will be a week of classic episodes that I can't wait to re-release. And a lot of great eps just on the horizon, man. Holy shit. Some of these guests are 90s throwback stars. Some of them are comedy stars of the future and present. And some are athletes. So make sure you're subscribed on iTunes, and make sure you are commenting and rating the podcast on iTunes, and email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, your ALN highlights, memories, why you got into the show, what you love about it, your favorite apps, and we'll read some of that shit on the pod, and you'll have a chance to win some merch. Like these emails from Barry Oliver. Holy shit, Barry, longtime listener, and what a message he sent. He said, hey, just wanted to send you guys an email today. Had a rough weekend, and it needed an escape from my mind for a little while. Thank God for you guys in the podcast. I put on the new episode with just you guys and felt like I was sitting down with two great friends, and my day got completely better. I love the stories from Brad's bachelor party. Also, I'm making Adam's shut the fuck up into a ringtone because I need that in my life. Thank you guys for everything you do. Barry Oliver, you are the man. Thanks for listening. Email us back your address, dude, and we'll send you some merch, all right? Also, Will Garrett sent us an email. He said, I found the podcast when I heard Brad on the Crab Feast and instantly had to look up About Last Night. I've enjoyed it from the first episode. All the Brent Morin episodes I love. I work in an office processing data and medical records, and it makes my day more enjoyable when there's a new episode to listen to, and actually makes me look forward to Monday. There have been a few times that my coworkers have stopped to ask if I'm okay because I was laughing so hard. Like during the Jimmy Pardo episode when Adam is telling his story about meeting Henry Winkler and Henry asking Adam not to shit on his son's clothes. Please don't shit on my son's clothes. You're not going to shit on my son's clothes, are you? No, Henry, why would I do that? Just, I don't know. It's a frat. You guys do weird stuff. Don't shit on his clothes. He loves those shirts. The Bob Saget episode also may be one of my favorites. The banter about the old chair in your apartment. Keep up the good work and keep us laughing. Much love, Will Garrett. Will, you're the man. Thank you as well for listening. And send us back your address and we'll send you some merch. All right? Now that we got the shout-outs out of the way, the merch, the Twitter handles, the tour dates, sit back, relax, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny John Campanelli.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
Now, are you very impressed with the sound of your voice?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think I can stand it. I don't get annoyed when I hear it.
You're one of the few.
I need somewhere for my gum, though. I don't like hearing myself chew.
No, I was just going to say that if you could.
You sound sexy with these on. With that.
With the headphones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing something with your voice?
Talking?
Well, now. Well,
no, yeah. I think you're just so insecure about your voice that you're deflecting onto me.
No, it sounds like he went down a little
he's
bit.
He's projecting a sexier voice onto you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's projecting what he wishes your voice sounded like.
Yeah. I got to be honest, that your voice isn't what I thought it was going to sound like when I first met you.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think it was going to sound like?
Not like a 13-year-old boy.
Oh, okay. You got a good voice. You got a deep voice. It's commanding.
I think I expected. I knew you were from the East Coast, so I expected. I thought there was gonna be a little bit more like
accent.
Yeah,
swag.
Swag.
Thank you for that. And do you have any place for my gum, though? I don't want to just put. I'll forget.
I almost don't want to find a place just so the entire podcast you're distracted by a place. You can't this focus is, because
I will not.
This has been gum talk.
Yeah.
I mean we could we could throw it into one of the candles and throw it a Viking funeral or something.
And that's why women by the way, that's why women are great. Because it's like I don't want to sound sexist, but like that was such a girl thing to do.
Yeah.
A woman thing to do.
Being considerate?
Yeah, being considerate.
Being nice to someone.
No. Not a dude move.
You guys sat here like, I don't know, figure it the fuck out, man.
We're just staring at you like, let's see you crawl on your hands and knees looking around for a spot. To put your damn gum.
And she came out with a napkin, but the way that you had it too.
And then she folded it over like an expensive waitress, like would just be like, okay, don't worry, I have this for you.
It was so maternal.
What do you because you currently have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I want to know what John was like pre-girlfriend. And do you think like I'd say most dudes are not as put together as they can be if they don't have.
What was I like before? I was actually in a good spot before, for the most part. But, what do you mean before?
Organized, like happiness, like.
Yeah, I was.
Cause, let's be honest, like starting into this business and by yourself is, overwhelming enough. But it's like when you do have. Support. It makes everything more tolerable. And if you have support that's like consistent and around you all the time.
Well, I'm able to, I was so gung-ho on my career, like, every second of the day that can be bad.
Yeah,
so absolutely. I think I was, like, I was just way too...
You didn't have balance.
No balance. It was all career, all day, pacing around my apartment, trying to figure out where I was going to get booked, trying to figure out who I should be hitting up, trying to figure out writing, what to do. And, you kind of forget why you're doing it when that happens. So I think I was a little more... I was too focused on only my career, so I probably wasn't that pleasant to be around.
Yeah.
I probably didn't even know it, because I was so just like career. And then when you have a girlfriend, there's just, she can take you away from that for a little bit.
Yeah, and give you that much needed break.
Relaxes you a little bit.
And then you didn't even know you needed that break.
Totally.
Until you have it and you're like, oh wow, so I shouldn't just be thinking about this
24/7? This is how fucked up I am. I'm like, well, I need to go back to that. Am I slowing down? Does that mean, am I not working as hard?
Yeah.
But it's like, but I am. I'm probably working smarter now. Because
more efficiently.
Yeah. But like, I get that sometimes if I'm like, if we're having like too good of a time, or if I'm like, I almost feel guilty if I'm having a good time, but it's not career oriented.
I can relate.
I'm like,
you're having so much fun, and then you're like,
am I slacking?
Yeah, am I not doing anything?
Is this happiness?
Someone else is writing. Someone else is writing a joke right now, and I'm out here at Chuck E. Cheese or wherever the hell you have a good time at. I assume Chuck E. Cheese is that for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's Chuck.
It's almost like this fear of being happy is gonna like make me not good at comedy anymore. I'm almost like,
yes,
things are going well. I need to stop this.
that's
a comic's mindset, by the way.
It totally is, and it's such a sad mindset. Now that I'm hearing someone else say that, like I'm looking at you like, oh my god, that's so horrible. Why would you do that to yourself? But then I've had that mindset a lot, where it's like, oh, the best jokes I've written have come from places of extreme pain and frustration and tragedy. And so when everything's going well, I'm like, oh man, I'm not writing something good.
Am I gonna be able to get material now? I'm almost gonna be like, look, someone's gotta fuck up for my career.
Well, where were you getting your material before?
Life experiences. Yeah. I lived my 20s was my teens and my 20s were wild. I mean, in a good way, under control wild, but like I partied, I played sports.
Like, would they be featured on like a Girls Gone Wild like DVD?
Would there be a couple of times that would have been? I would have been on Girls Gone Wild, yes. No.
That would be the worst Girls Gone Wild.
What did you have to do as a dude himself
that got you on Girls Gone Wild?
I'm not proud of it. Yeah. But
no, I don't know if you know this, Adam. He has perfect areolas.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I do. They're a little inverted. But
the guy skipped over the girls and was like, I don't care about these hot chicks. Who's the dude with the prepubescent voice?
At the time, I thought it was a good into the industry. It was a start. It was something. It wasn't porn, you know.
But like, but when you said you were in sports, I didn't find this out about you until today, doing a little research about you. I didn't know you were a Division I baseball player.
Oh yeah.
Well, I just want to get into
a lot
that.
Of people don't know that. It's like Michael Costa with tennis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a Division I baseball player. I was a left-handed pitcher, which is a hot commodity.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, I did. I played football, basketball, baseball in high school, and then I played college baseball. And it
Where?
Was Quinnipiac University.
Yeah, you just made that up. But so when well, here's that's not a real college.
But let me tell you something.
That just sounds like the most Canadian word of all time. Like, oh, you know, there, we're going to go up and play some hockey up there in Quinnipiac.
Well, we are like the best, like the hockey program in the country. They pretty much have won or been in the finals every year.
Wow.
It's like you and BC and Michigan or something like that?
They're good. Look them up. They're good. And then, okay. But Quinnipiac would be such a great name to make up, and I wish I would have made that up. I would give myself credit. But,
how does the arts figure into all this? Because most comics you meet, like, they were the funny kid in high school, or they were doing plays or musicals or whatever. Like, were you, like, the straight jock?
I love that you're asking me this question. I really do, because this is interesting. Because, like, first off, my hometown mm-hmm. has like a huge art program. Like, Ang Lee,
the director.
He lives in my town. His son is friends with my little sister. The Dillons went to my high school. You know, Matt and Kevin Dillon went to my high school. So
you could have stopped at Matt.
But at the, hilarious. But at the drama.
No,
come on,
Johnny. Are you serious?
Dude, there's
a
kidding.
Strong debate over which is the better Dillon now.
That's funny.
That needs to be a show.
Yeah.
But at the same
which
time,
which is the better Dillon?
At the same time, like, because I was like into sports, it still wasn't like, I don't know, the thing to do to go into arts for someone like me. You know, it was mm-hmm. tough because I was like a jock and my friends were, you know.
And were you good?
That was just when they were coming.
Yeah, they used to come really weird.
Yeah.
That was on the. That's also on the Girls Gone Wild. It's just
gross.
It was. It was
definitely not ordering it now. I was so close, but now no.
Well, because you want to see those perfect nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's on like they're on deleted scenes. You have to have a whole. It's like a special thing you have to buy. It's not just on the actual.
It's an Easter egg.
Yes.
You were good at baseball, though. Yeah. I mean, yeah. D1, but like there was. I'm always so fascinated by the people that get to play at that level. Like there is a significant chunk of your life where you're like, and I'm going pro.
Well,
right?
I think I could have. I stopped playing.
Why?
Oh, so you chose.
Yeah. Dude,
not injury.
No. I can still hang with him today. I would like to say I could maybe walk on a team. Give me 6 months to work on my arm.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well, what was your fastball clocked at?
Like 86, 87.
That's...
But I'm lefty, so my ball moved.
Yeah.
Like my fastball moved, so like a catcher, if you had to know how to catch me. You couldn't just put like... If you were to say like, hey, have you ever caught him before? We'll go in this game and catch him. You wouldn't be able to because my ball tailed so much that you'd have to know where my ball was going
to
go.
Did you play in Little League all the time? When did you... I mean, to be that good at that age, you're one of those kids that started... Like, your dad was playing catch. There's videos of you at like 2 being like, go deep. And you're like, this wrong sport, dumbass. You know, but throw the ball. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I was good. I was just kind of like... I was natural at baseball as a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my favorite sport, though. So it's funny because I never really worked that hard at it. I just kind of threw the ball.
Cool.
We get it. You're naturally talented.
No, but
gifted.
I love football. But that, but like that, you know, I was undersized. It was a whole, you know.
Oh, yeah. You're a very tiny person. No, tell me exactly how small you are.
Well, this is why I can relate to you. And I thought this would be a good thing to bring up.
Right. Because
I know how you feel. I tried to play varsity basketball. Yeah, I was a second leading scorer and captain.
Yeah, you know
but
exactly.
I wasn't
how
tall
feel.
Enough.
You were pretty good in those comedy leagues. You were
Thanks.
Crafty. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you do know how I feel because you're undersized, but have a huge cock.
Yeah. And that's where we relate as well.
Exactly.
Did
just
you?
Drags you on the floor, slows you down.
Wait,
I totally get it.
Wait, so why'd you stop?
Honestly, there's a couple reasons. First off, I wanted to do stand up and I wanted to act
ever since you were a kid.
Like, yeah, since before. Like, there's a picture of me in, like, first grade or second grade for Halloween. I'm dressed as a rock star. Like, when I was in first grade, I organized a band with the kids in my first grade. And what I...
Called?
Well, we didn't have a name.
I'm playing the xylophone.
I'll get into it, though. I had all the instruments we bought, and we made do with it, and I'd have them come over to practice, and you know, they weren't as into it as I was. I was really kind of strict. I was like, we got to get this done. Our first gig, our first gig in first grade was going to be at my aunt's wedding, so I fucking thought she booked me, and I told everyone, and we practiced. Turned out that wasn't a real thing, and that was my first, you know, that was how my first taste of show business.
Getting first rejected.
First grade, I had a band get ready. We practiced for my aunt's wedding. And you know,
you were terrible.
Well, I don't think she was serious, but I took it as serious. I was a serious musician in first grade.
You're a serious person.
Yeah.
When you say something like you're, and it's a good quality, like you take it at face value. You go, I don't know what you're like. I mean, I know based on us trying to like get this podcast, you follow up.
Yeah.
You're like, yo, you say it, I say it, I mean it, you mean it.
Yeah. Let's do this. So when I organize a band and have people over and we're practicing on instruments, we're listening to Rod Stewart and Elvis and
good for you.
Getting ready, you know, and then
late on that triangle, Craig.
Now look, would it have been
Yeah, were you fighting with your band fights in the first grade?
I think the band started to dwindle down. It went from like most kids in my class to like, you know, a couple practices in, there weren't as many. And I, you know, realistically looking back on it, yeah, would it have been hard to get everybody? Because at the time I lived in Pennsylvania. I just moved to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. So would it have been easy to get people from Pennsylvania to Long Island? I didn't think about overhead costs and stuff like that.
You think about transporting child prodigy musicians.
Yeah, you're like, let's do a gig and then we'll eat pudding. Like, yeah. that was your thought process.
So I thought we were getting paid. I mean, it was a whole thing.
In pudding.
Yeah. I would have taken it. So then I moved on to my cousins.
We're here to collect our pudding pay.
Sounds like some back alley shit going on right there.
Give us
shady.
It now. Yeah. I'm thinking of that one. What's that scene in Hostel when they had to give those kids the candy and they beat the shit out of
good pull.
The guys that were trying to get them. Yeah. Remember, they were like, gave the kids all the candy.
Was Bruce Willis in that?
Hostel?
No.
You're thinking Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
No. I'm thinking, look who's talking to.
He was the voice.
Yeah.
but then I moved on from that, and I went to another band.
But you went to another band?
Oh, you cheating.
That's fascinating, though, that was your... Like, that was enough of performing and... Right? To give you the bug?
Yeah.
You really, like... Do you focus in on that being the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I just... I loved Elvis, dude. Like, I fucking love... I have an Elvis collection. I used to gel my hair like Elvis in the morning. Every morning.
Really?
Like, I'm a... Dude, look, and I feel like you guys are too, so I can say this and you guys will get it. Like, I'm a performer, man. I'm an entertainer at my core. Like, that's just what I am.
So, like, even when you do, like, karaoke, your mindset is like, I'm gonna rock the shit out of this song.
Yeah, although, funny, interesting enough, I'm not a big fan of karaoke. I don't know why.
You don't do Elvis?
I'll do it. I think it's weird to watch. I don't think it's funny watching someone that, like, has the confidence to go up and then, like, gets scared when they get the mic, you know, like someone who's like, oh, I can do this. I don't think that's funny. I think it's really weird. I don't know that my perception, my point of view on that is like, this is really weird and uncomfortable. So I don't like watching karaoke nights.
Interesting. But yeah, so, all right, favorite Elvis song then?
By the way, I take offense to that you get uncomfortable watching karaoke.
I do. I don't like...
Is it because you yourself don't participate?
No, I don't know. I don't like watching drunk people go up and make fools of themselves.
You've never seen me do talk dirty to me.
Well, but you're different. I'll watch you guys will do it. And, you know, and in L.A., there's like some people that you actually go and there's people that are good. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's just odd to me when someone goes up and they think that they're going to kill the song.
Yeah.
Because they've sung it in their head and then they get the beat and they realize there's no words behind it and they actually have to sing into a microphone and then they like clam up. It's so uncomfortable
and
for me.
It's also amazing to me whenever I see either public speaking or like stuff like karaoke where as someone who uses a microphone every day, I forget like, oh yeah, some people don't know how to talk into a microphone.
Right, no, they don't. They hear their voice and then like we were saying before and then they're like, uh-oh, I'm really doing this and there's people here. And
they
then
panic,
they get weird as fuck.
They hold the mic 3 feet away from them and they're like, oh, I can't.
You know what I also think it is too, and I'm not joking. I went through like a weird string where like when I was single and I'd go to a karaoke or something and there'd be a girl who always wanted to do like she'd be like, let's do a duet. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do a duet with you. And then I always would get guilted into like, you have to do it, come on. And then you'd make that decision like, well, do I want this night to go any further? I guess I gotta do a fucking duet. And then
I gotta go sing the John Travolta part from Grease.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time.
Every time.
Wello, wello, wello.
and I don't want to tell her.
Flashbacks.
I don't want to tell her anymore. I don't want to tell her. Tell you no more. We're done.
Wait. Okay. So you. I mean, I'm just so fascinated as like the middle school John Campanelli was.
So elementary school.
Yeah.
Then I went. Then I had a band.
Were you cool in elementary school?
I was a huge nerd until like
15 minutes ago. Yeah.
Until I was a nerd until like sixth grade for real.
I want people to know what shirt you're wearing right now to sort of.
Is that I would not throw that in the nerd category. I mean, I just bought a shirt that has the Golden Girls on it.
Yeah.
And it says Stay Golden.
I have that. It's blue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that t-shirt.
I mean, look.
Does that mean you guys have to knife fight now that you have the same t-shirt?
We have to make sure that we don't wear it. We should wear it at the same time, actually. That's a shirt.
Dude, have you ever done that, by the way? Have you ever been to a comedy club and somebody else, you have a shirt where you're like, oh, this is dope, and you see the same one? Luckily, it's happened to me 3 different times.
Wow.
Over the span of 10 years. That's not a lot. But it's a lot to happen because, like, how often are you like, oh, I'm going to have the same? And it's always been when I've either walked in and seen the person on stage with it.
Yep.
Or they've walked in before me, and I've come around the corner, and I've been in a car, and I've seen them walk in with a shirt, and I've always had a backup.
Wow.
Wow. So you will change?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause
I don't want the crowd thinking like, I mean, look, it's a brief moment, but it's also
it's a
like,
comedian uniform, kids.
Look, these instances were at least 3 to 4 years and older, so maybe now I'm more secure in the fact of like I can wear the same shirt as another grown
right,
man
sure,
and be okay
sure.
with it. But
it depends on the show though,
and also depends on
you
the comic.
You want to stand out a little bit too. You don't want to be like lumped in with someone.
Yeah,
it's like it's a real thing though. It's not like
that.
You're not being insecure.
Yeah, that. And imagine if like you see Dave Chappelle in the same clothes, you're like, all right, I'm cool as fuck.
That's different. If it's Dave Chappelle,
what would you wear in elementary school? What was your
I mean, I dressed normal. I mean, nothing crazy.
Yeah, you said you're a nerd, so what are your nerd clothes?
Well, I was a nerd.
Overalls and a cowboy hat? No shirt?
A lot of overalls with no shirts. That's what I wore in Girls Gone Wild as well.
Gross.
Keep overalls. Shows up the nipples, guy. Come on, easy access.
I was in third grade. I was trying to be in a band. He came up to me. I was like, all right. It's a movie? Okay.
Third grade. This just got inappropriate. Yes.
But I mean, I don't know. I used to dress like normal, but I used to gel my hair. And like, I got really into, started getting into sports in like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I had a rocky beginning in show business. And that's what happened. Because then in fifth grade, I was in the school play. In third grade, my first school play, I didn't get the part I wanted.
Which was?
Like, I forgot what it was. It was about like the Gold Rush, and I wanted to be like the lead.
Mm-hmm. City Slickers?
It was not City Slickers.
You wanted to play
and
the Billy
be,
Crystal
I wanted
part.
To be Billy Crystal in City Slickers.
And then they cast you as Jack Palance, and you're like, why do I have to die? It sucks.
But I had one
spoiler alert.
I had one line where I had to run across the stage and go, gold, gold, there's gold at Sutter's Mill. And that was my line. And then I ran across the stage, and I ran into the corner of like one of the props as I was running off stage, and I collapsed on the floor. Like I ran into it, almost hit me in the dick, but it hit me like in the side, and I went, oh, I went, gold, gold, there's gold in Sutter's Mill. Oh! And then I fell.
Is there a video?
Was the director like, he's improvising, this is brilliant. This kid's got moxie.
Brilliant, that's half from the excitement of gold.
He's smoking a skinny cigarette. It was great.
Who was your, like, do you remember the director? I mean, like, that's always...
No, but the guy that got it was politics. He didn't fucking deserve it.
Why'd he get
it? The lead.
He gave
it. Because his parents
were
at the school all the time, and they were like...
a pudding cup?
It's bullshit, man. So then the same shit happened again.
His parents were at the school all the time. like they just showed up. You're saying they were like involved.
His parents loved him and shit.
My parents were to a degree, but like some parents get involved where you feel like they're bribing them. Like, get my fucking kid the lead.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you're like,
that's why they do it.
Like the dad that shows up to like the basketball practices. He's like, I'll be assistant coach. And you're like, we don't need that, man. He's like, all right, I'm just trying to get my kid to play. And you're like, he will on the very last game of the season.
Right.
When we're up by 50.
I've never been on the good side of the. I've never been on the politics. Like my dad's like very much like, earn it. You know, you got to work hard and you got to earn it. And now being, you know, 32, I'm like, I don't know if that, you know. Could use a help here and there.
Right.
I don't know if that's how the world works,
Someone could give something to me if they can.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So then I did a Wizard of Oz in fifth grade, and then I thought I was going to be the Scarecrow or the Lion, and I was excited, like, hoo. Like, I could do that for the Lion.
All right. First of all, I played the Lion in the fifth grade, and I am offended by your impression.
Dueling Lions. Wait. Here we go.
If I were the king of the forest.
Close. Here we go. If I...
We're a king.
Wow.
Of the
That's hard, that last part. Let me do it again.
Hold I can't on. Do this.
Let me do it again.
Ready?
How about the first if we, time
how about
in
if,
years.
How about if we were kings and we'll do it okay. together?
Hold on. So, wait, you want to do it at the same time?
Yeah,
so
isn't that what doing it together means?
Yeah, but then we goes back to the whole...
See, this is why you didn't get the lead. You were combative out of the gate. People tried to give you...
Am I a little bit of a diva? Yeah.
I want my solo, Mr. Yeah. DeVille.
No, but I'm talking about the duets of the whole karaoke.
You were probably like, you were in the Wizard of probably trying to like orchestrate like to the Tin Man, like, look, I know you don't have a heart, but I think it's better if the lion sings that one too.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, no. I was very focused.
I would much rather you didn't have a voice either, Tin Man. Just shut up. I got this shit.
I wanted to be Dorothy.
Did you really?
No.
Okay. I would have accepted that.
If I were the king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not Earl. I don't know if that was...
No, you might have added that last one, okay. But yeah.
So, well, I improvised a little bit, too.
I mean, you sound like a posh kid.
I wanted
to. Like, it was a very proper line, you know?
Yeah. And I
see, also keep in mind, this is what grade again for you?
Fifth.
That was for me, too.
Yeah.
But also, fifth grade for me was the peak of my, like double-fisting Pop-Tarts. Like, I was the first...
You were fat.
Yeah, I was a fat line. So I had more, like natural of that, because it always sounded like I was choking on food, because it was always stuck in the back of my throat.
Your jowls were jiggling.
So go again. Yeah. Go again.
So also, it was the first time in the history of the Wizard of Oz that the Cowardly Lion got to Oz, and instead of asking for courage, he asked for cake.
That's crazy.
That's a joke.
I think they should write that in. I think that's a better ending.
Makes sense.
So you get your courage.
So I was like,
the fuck is this?
Look, fat kid lion or like skinny nerd who's like pot, like sounds like a British like foreign exchange student. Like you were like not prince, not like you were
not.
Yeah.
Is it not Duke? It's
I don't know, but it seems like your line seems like there should be like a thin handlebar mustache on him.
Put him like a tiny.
You're like the hipster.
Not afraid at all, by the way.
Yeah, but I got insecure. I got insecure towards the end.
In your version, Dorothy was like, "Dude, that's you are the biggest pussy." No pun intended.
It is, though. Yeah, he is.
It's funny because we have all been.
By the way,
we should
pull up the tapes of you and I's lions and cross critique them, or have
down,
our moms cross critique them,
break them down like John Gruden on SportsCenter,
like the
Gruden's QB camp, but for
it's
lions.
So good.
My mom thinks that performance of mine is the greatest thing I've done to date.
I didn't. There's no. But you know what I ended up being?
What's that?
A fucking crow.
A crow,
not the scarecrow.
That's racist.
A crow.
I just want to say that. It's,
oh, yikes!
Racist. Me and two girls.
Oh,
wearing tights.
Yeah.
My voice was high, and apparently someone thought it was funny to tell me that their mom thought I was an attractive girl because I was tall and skinny.
Oh, and I was kids are so two cruel. Other girls.
What did you say as a crow?
I don't remember my line. I was mad the whole time.
Can I guess what it was?
Yeah. I definitely did have to do that.
Yeah, of course you did.
I can't even do that.
Oh, God. It sounds like you're lying.
That's so bad. My lying was okay.
Yeah, your lying was okay.
I'm so... Like, I'm... We have all three been in a production of The Wizard of Oz at some point, and I did not play a munchkin, and you have no idea how proud that made
me. Well, you were miscast.
Wow, that was...
You're goddamn right.
What a fucked up production.
Obviously make you the best...
This is
make
the
you
worst all, production.
Actually, make it a Nutty Professor style and make you play all the munchkins.
So I'm like running across the stage.
I mean, that would have been brilliant.
It's like, well, he is the only authentic munchkin we have.
Who played the actual munchkins?
Other kids.
Now, did the director go out of his way to not do that because he was like, I don't want to get
were
like
letters.
Were you
wearing stilts? What were you wearing?
Who'd you play?
The wizard.
That's great.
That is amazing. And that's also, actually, that's a great casting.
Yeah.
That's the best production.
Because the wizard is like open interpretation.
Yeah. And it also was the best part because he got to fly away in a balloon in the end. Spoiler alert. But if you haven't seen the movie, fuck you. Go see
it. Yeah, that's weird.
But that's weird. So like I flew up in a little balloon basket, and that's probably why they picked me.
Oh my God.
Because I was like, so light. Yeah. They're like, all right, we can have we have the high school kids that are on the crew actually lift him up.
Wait.
We can't have that fat cowardly lion over there do it because they're not going to be able to lift him.
No.
So they were doing like stunts and stuff.
You were
like being that's great. That's a better than our stupid fucking production.
All right, so you did a few plays, then middle school.
Yeah, then middle. That
do
was
you start to shift out of nerdy John? School. Or are you still?
Yeah,
yeah.
I started kind of being going like by default, kind of hanging out with the jocks because I was getting really good at sports.
Right.
So, and I had already been for a few years, but I still had my friend. And then middle school, everyone kind of met, you know, the jocks start really hanging out with the jocks. So I started hanging out with them a little more, and they were already going on like dates and stuff. And I you know, hadn't gone through puberty really yet. So that wasn't, you know, a thing to me. And then when I started to like girls, then I changed. Like seventh grade, when I found out we were moving to New York and from Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then my dad was only there on the weekends for like a year because he wanted to wait till I graduated eighth grade. So that, like,
you could start high school.
I could start high school.
Good move.
So for like, and we just had, my little brother was just born. So like, we had a lot going on, and I was going through puberty and stuff. So that's when I was a little bit more rebellious, but I wasn't a bad kid. But I was a little bit more. And then my first girlfriend, it was a slut. And what she did was, I was fucking in it, dude.
Doesn't everybody think like? But everyone's first girlfriend, you eventually think is a slut because you eventually stop being with her, and she eventually starts holding hands with your buddy, and you're like slut. And you're like, do you know what that means?
You're 11. I was innocent, man. Yeah. I was innocent, okay. And I was a good kid, and I didn't. We were at a school dance, and I had like two girlfriends. I had one girlfriend prior for an entire weekend, but I never said yes.
That's called
her.
A prostitute, by the way, John.
I was in seventh grade. That's also on the girl.
You paid. You gave her all of your allowance.
Yeah.
No, my
four gummy bears.
She. Her
friend. Do you take pudding pay?
Paying in pudding for my seventh grade girlfriend.
You laugh, but somewhere there is a girl that would be like, I would totally date that guy for a pudding cup.
That's a classy broad, to be honest with you. But
so for a whole weekend, what was her name?
Her name was Jenny Copperthwaite.
Okay.
And
of the Copperthwaite fortune?
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, for a weekend. Why only a weekend?
Well, this is what happened.
Okay.
We were at a dance, Friday night dance. Her friends asked me out. I said no. Then my friends told her friends yes. So we dated. That was official enough. So apparently that was my first girlfriend that I said no to.
And, no means yes.
And then, yep. See, it's not, it's such, it's so, whatever, semantics.
Wait, why would they say?
Because they thought it was hilarious. They were like, no, he wants to. And I was like, no, I don't want to date her. I don't know what a girlfriend is. So then we didn't talk the entire weekend. Then I got to school Monday morning and I told her friend I wanted to break up with her. So my first relationship.
You little Lothario, you.
You didn't even talk. So you got together over false
pretense.
Yeah.
And then we didn't talk once while we were in a relationship.
Does that constitute a relationship? Because there was a verbal contract between not the people in the contract.
I had no say in it, yeah. But it was binding.
Was it a tough breakup?
It was weird. It was like
who got the pudding in the divorce?
I want to say it was like 7:45 in the morning on a Monday. And I didn't waste any time. And she was a little
before
upset.
The bell rang, you just got there and was like,
I told her friend, I don't want to do this.
Oh, you told her friend?
Yeah, I wasn't going to break up to her face. I had never
spoken
to her.
To.
Yeah, that would have been your first conversation. By the way, it's not working out.
Hello.
Maybe,
goodbye.
Yeah. Do I even know your name yet?
So that's your first.
In sixth grade, they were playing Spin the Bottle at a party that I was invited to because this girl had a crush on me. And we were playing Spin the Bottle. And I knew she was going to get it so that we were going to make out. And I'd never kissed a girl. So I left the party.
Wow.
I got up and left. I was like, I'm going.
Spin the Bottle. There's a lot of,
a lot of pressure,
anxiety around that game.
Because she was like, she wanted to, I knew what they were doing. Like, the girls were orchestrating it. Because the girls, they, you know, before the guys, they're the ones that are into it. Because they're, you know, they go through it earlier. So they were like, all the girls were organizing. Who are we going to make out with? Who likes who? So they were rigging Spin the Bottle. It wasn't even a real game. Like, I was like, dude, I'm here to play a game.
Like those damn, this isn't, like those damn carnival people.
Wait, how are they rigging it? They were,
they were making it like basically like they'd
they
spin
stop it
and be yeah and stuff like that. And I knew that they were gonna make me. I think her name was Kristen Johns. I remember her name. And they were gonna make me make out with her. And I was like, yeah, no, not gonna happen. I call my mom. I'm like, gotta get out of here pronto. And she picked me up, and I didn't tell anyone. I just left.
Why do you want to leave, John? They're gonna make me make out with a girl. So that's when you stay.
So then, my first kiss was this slut, and seventh grade dance.
Copperthwaite?
No, this other girl, the hot girl from the other middle school, dude.
Whoa!
Like I was a nobody with a bowl cut, like. Just like this innocent kid, kind of in with the cool kids, kind of in with other people too, just like kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. And Crash Into Me came on, She asked me to dance. I guess she was into me. I didn't know. I don't know why or how.
How was she at your dance at
because
an opposing school?
Because it was actually a private school dance that if you got tickets to, you can go to. It was like a big thing.
Keep telling the story.
PTSD.
I'm going to cry.
Well.
So, I'm getting horny. And
it's actually dangerous for me. I'm the closest to him.
I just came. And that also you can see in the Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, yeah, good.
So, okay. So, we're dancing. I'll never forget it. Slow dancing.
Oh, he definitely have that still on in the background.
Yeah, no,
okay,
light.
Shit.
Yeah,
okay.
He said he might cry.
So Crash Into Me's on. She's, I actually like had a crush on her. That was like the first girl I was attracted to. I was like, I was attracted to her months before that when we used to go play their school. They were our rivals. She was like, I'd always be like, that girl's so hot. Like, I just thought she was so hot.
Oh my God. Turn down a little bit, Brad. I said turn it down. You turn it up. Turn down the music. Turn up the emotion.
Crank it up the emotion.
So she started she started dancing with me. This girl, I was like, she's so beautiful. I remember earlier that night watching her. This is what happened. I remember now. She didn't have her ticket and she couldn't get in, and she was standing on the other side of the door. It was a glass door trying to get in.
Oh my God. And through a wave of people, you saw her through the glass, and she was did like
she had her hands
fucking John
Hughes
film.
Shivering. She was shivering, so she had her hands on her arms like you know, trying to keep warm. And I think it might, dude, I'm not even making this up, or maybe the song's making me think of something that's not real.
Yeah, maybe this you didn't even live this story.
Maybe this is the plot of The Notebook. I don't know.
And then she came back and said, I want to build a house with you.
Yeah.
And then we died together.
No, but it was raining out, I think. Yeah. Drizzling.
Of course it was.
Yeah, so I got her in. I got someone to give her the ticket, and got her in.
Oh, my God.
So now she's dancing with me, and there's a cop right next to us, I remember. And I remember she was looking at me really weird, and I was looking down, and I didn't know. Dude, I never made out with a girl. I never even thought about thinking about how I should be doing that. Like, I didn't know. we're dancing, slow dancing to this. And she's like staring at me weird, and I'm like looking down at her, and I'm almost like, is there something on my face? Like, is what's going on? And then she started like, dude, I seriously will never forget this. It was a boy's dream, and she started, slowly working her way, like slowly going up to like my mouth with my mouth.
Yeah.
Dude, I had no idea what she was doing, and then she just laid it on me, and I remember. My initial thought was, oh, another tongue. I'll never forget that.
I rented that last
week.
Oh,
another tongue?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
And then I had my mouth wide open, and just moving my tongue around.
Jesus.
And my eyes were wide open, and I was staring at a cop who was staring back at me.
And the cop was like licking his lips, and he was lip syncing to Crash.
Yeah. Yes, and you can also do
like,
that.
It's a boy's dream. You're like,
did he at least give you a thumbs up or something? Like,
yeah, I think he was laughing, and then my friends were like freaking out because he knew it was my first kiss, and then made out the rest of the night.
Oh my God!
So like three other slow songs, the Titanic theme song too.
Hold on.
So these songs,
So we made out four times.
John, this is your life.
Which counts as hooking up four times.
Sure.
So now Alex McMullen, in who was like days, the stud, he'd only hooked up three times. It was different girls, but only three. So now my friend James is running up going, I remember like my dad picked us up and they were drawing hearts on the window. And my dad was like, what happened tonight? And I was like, shut up. And they were like laughing. They're like, oh my God, four times. They kept saying
like, he just fucking took the lead over Alex McMullen. Your dad was like, the star QB. Your dad knows what's up because all the parents know who the cool kids are.
Always do.
Of course. He didn't deserve. He was nice kid, but.
Wait, so that's that is a defining moment in your.
So then.
By the way, Alex McMullen cries every time he hears this song.
So then at baseball practice, they were like, wow.
I mean, this song has a special place in my heart, too.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
Because I saw her live while I was.
That's why it will go on.
Edible. Yeah.
So then at baseball practice, and then that Monday, everyone was like, remember James ran up to Alex? I'll never forget. He goes, John Campanelli made out with Lindsay Hilly four times. And he was like, four. And he was so happy for me for some reason.
That's awesome.
Yeah, until.
Is he still a friend of yours?
I moved, but we still keep in touch a little bit. But then he ended up dating her. because she started dating all my friends. She moved over to that to my school.
What?
Yeah, dude, it fucked me up.
So she was a slut.
I forgot that you gave us the. This was like you. She you, like broke you Tarantino'd us. You were like, yeah. She's the slut. All right, now here's the story. I forgot about that. So this whole time, I'm like, there's a happy ending here.
No,
I forgot that.
So we dated for a month.
Which is
we talked every night on the phone.
Yeah.
We went and saw Titanic at the movies. I went to. Did I go to second?
By the way, I love that you said at the movies, as if any of us were thinking like you went to visit the actual Titanic.
He went down with James Cameron in the submarine. But that was a hell
I organized
of a, date.
A submarine dive.
She had already like gotten fingered and stuff.
I love that this song
that
is
sentence
playing.
To this song has never happened before.
So at the movies we hooked up.
Oh, it's happened before.
I think we saw two movies together, and my dad saw her and told my mom, "Wow, she's really cute." And then we dated for a month. We only went to first, even though I try to go up her sleeve to go.
Who goes
to
up the
boobs.
Sleeve?
That's what they said to me at baseball
that's
practice.
That's the longest line to get there,
dude.
There's two other direct access points.
I had my arm around her shoulder.
Yeah.
I wanted to touch her boobs. I didn't know what to do, so I slowly started going up her sleeve and into her sleeve.
Yeah, that's like...
Didn't work.
Dude, that's like when you see the exit ramp for Disneyland and you go, well, let's just go down to San Diego first. And then we'll loop back around to Anaheim. You know what I'm saying?
So that was a running joke for a while with people that I
and by the way, boobs are the Disneyland of the human body, absolutely. Is what I'm trying to say.
They really are.
We're all trying to go there.
And I was trying to, and I hadn't
Earth.
Been there yet, and I wanted to go there.
Sure. You heard a lot about it.
So Lindsay dates all your friends.
So then I get a call from my friend Ashley at my school, from my school, mm-hmm. who I went to elementary school, so I've known her. She gets a call from Lindsay's friend to call me to break up with me. And Lindsay didn't want to do it because she felt bad. So she called me, and I basically had heard rumors that something happened at a party that weekend with her.
Remember when rumors were like a real big deal?
Yeah, some of them are true.
I mean, nowadays, you know? They're just like, nowadays, there's a rumor is printed, and people go, and that's real. That's a fact, because nobody fact checks.
Right.
And there's
right.
so many sources that are unreputable.
Yeah.
Like JambaJuice.com tomorrow could be like, you know, Caitlyn Jenner is, having doubts. And then there's like a soundbite of somebody like, you know, I miss my penis. You know, and then there's something quick. And then everyone's like, she does miss her penis. You know, like.
Yeah, it's scary because people can make up whatever they want about you at any given time. Yeah. And then it's even if it's debunked, there's still going to be like a stigma next to your name that your name was even associated with that.
That's going to be the thing that when you Google
really
your name,
yeah. And it makes you look bad if everyone's like, Lindsay's now hooking up with dudes.
Well,
right?
Yeah. So then she started dating like that dude, James.
Fucking James.
And then he didn't want to tell me, but she was so hot. Mm-hmm. And then she started dating. Then she started dating another one of my friends that she dated for a while and gave him a blowjob.
Yikes.
And I'd only gotten to first base with her. So now I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like really hurt by this.
Of course.
So then I
and super jealous.
Well, I wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. I got pissed. Like I was going to fight people. And then I became I became a player. I cut my hair. I gelled it going up. I said, I'm a fucking player now.
By the way,
at what age? 14?
Chapter one of the player's
not
handbook.
Even. 13.
Call 13. Yourself a player.
Yeah.
Slick the hair back.
That's what I did.
Where did you get all this?
Like, I got it like 98 degrees, like the Lachey.
John, do you realize the story is a teen movie waiting to happen? Because that scene is such an epic scene where it's you find this out, and then there's like there's a whole montage of you in the mirror snipping your hair, greasing it back, dancing in the mirror, being like, I'm a player now. And then your dad walks in like, hey, player, do the dishes.
You know? I want to see you sit down in the barber chair and just be like, dude. And what in the in
give
the
bar, me the player.
Yeah, and the barber's like, what will it be today? And you're like, give me, pause, the Lachey. And that's when the whole barbershop stops, turns to you, goes like, nah, he's not ready for the Lachey, Jerry. Oh, he's God. Not ready for the Lachey. And you're
that
like, I'm ready for the Lachey.
Forever. That changed me forever. And I hooked up with, I went from zero
Lindsay's
to 100.
Friends?
I hooked up with so many girls, dude, after that.
Wow.
I had a black book. I was hooking up with chicks.
Jesus.
I didn't do much with them, but I got a hand job quick, I fingered quick, sucked boobs quick. I went.
Oh, my God.
I went like these... I was like, you want to play that game? I'm sucking everyone's boobs now.
John Campanelli, like, I'm sucking everyone's boobs is the
I'm
name of your next
boobs
album.
Quick. I feel like that's the scouting report if they like did the NFL combine, but for players. Well, he's got a great 40 time and he sucks boobs real quick there.
Look,
John.
He got a hand job quick, he fingered quick, he sucked all the boobs.
Some people are saying he's peaking too early in his career, but I think this kid's got a bright future ahead of him.
But, you know, but he's the weird part.
He's gonna be straight fucking by the time he's 18.
You know what though? That's a real here's what I will say about that. Like, that's you don't get more raw emotionally than that stage of life where
yeah,
it's
absolutely,
just like
because everything's so important.
So it makes you are so like affected that you're like I have
to
keep
this in mind. I was really innocent. I didn't even know cheating was a thing. So like when my best friend is like dating the girl that just broke up with me, but she was also hooking up with guys at her school too.
And parents don't give you that talk. They you're lucky if they give you any sort of sexual discussion. Well, so, you know, but no parent is like including in that like and also like your best friend. Well,
so
they
I
might hook up with the girl you like at the dance, and then you got to suck the boobs. Like, no dad gives that speech.
So then I became friends with her. I became good friends with her.
You like jumped into the friend zone. Now was that to like keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer? Like
maybe,
I'm gonna
maybe
get
on
her
some
close
level.
To me so she can witness all the girls I'm gonna be sticking my fingers in.
I don't think I was that calculated, but maybe on some level. But I remember the first hand job I got was with her friend.
Yeah.
At a movie with, she was there. She was sitting next to her friend at a movie theater. So
wow.
It was like really weird.
So yeah. you make eye contact with random things during your first.
You know what's great
experiences?
About this whole story? You're wearing a Hakuna Matata t-shirt.
Yeah.
And no phrase sums up that whole, like,
getting a hand job next to your ex-girlfriend better than Hakuna
Matata.
Well,
just the way he dealt with that. You were like, no worries. You cheated on me. And yeah. Now I'm going to suck all the boobs. Hakuna Matata means I'm going
to
suck all the boobs.
By the way, and when I moved to New York, the girl I was dating in Pennsylvania when I moved to New York was so unbelievably gorgeous that my dad dropped me off at the movies and she was there. And he, first off, she looked so much older. And he was like, who is that? And I was like, yeah, it's my girlfriend. And he was like, what? Everyone wanted her. She went to a different school, not one of the schools that like I even hung around, like a completely different school. Everyone knew who she was because of how hot she was. Mm-hmm. And I was dating her, but then I moved and she like she was into me too. And remember the Hahn twins, they were twins and they got a lot of girls. They had an older brother. They were like just advanced and they wanted her so bad. And I remember I had her and it was great, but then I had to move away and God knows who did what to her after that.
Okay. Well, that's a great place to transition. Hey guys, hope you're enjoying the episode. Brad Williams and Adam Ray here. Just want to tell you guys real quick about one of our new sponsors that we are fucking loving. And I say loving with a capital L and a capital oving.
That's right. Mack Weldon.
Heard of them?
Premium menswear. This stuff is so comfortable. They sent us a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The underwear is fantastic. And the underwear doesn't make you smell. It's antimicrobial.
I didn't know what that was, a word or a thing.
I had to Google it 4 or 5 different times, but apparently it's awesome.
That to me is always the strong sign of a dope clothing company. A, that has clothes that fit you and are super comfortable. And like, we both got these and we were a little skeptical because they claim to be the most comfortable clothes. And then we both put them on and we're like, oh shit, like the socks are as comfy as the underwear, are as comfy as the hoodies, are as comfy as the sweatpants.
I'm wearing a sock on my dick right now.
Yeah, I know. And I love that about you. You're a sock dick now.
Yep.
And, you know, when they have like antimicrobial things, it just, to me, that's always like they're going above and beyond and really trying to cater clothes and make clothes that are not only comfortable and look good, but like feel good on your body. And that's the whole point of wearing clothes, right?
That's right, Adam. So go to MackWeldon.com and use promo code ALN to get 20% off right now.
That's a lot of percent. And the clothes are so comfortable, if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it anyway and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Who else does that? Does Quiznos?
No.
Fucking no, man. Go to MackWeldon.com right now. And now back to the episode. So you moved away then to New York, and that's where you start trying comedy, right? That's where you start doing open mics and stuff?
No, I'm a freshman in high school at that point.
Well, that's what I fucking asked, dude.
I didn't start comedy till I was 25.
Well, great. And that's called a question and an answer.
Okay.
That's called not knowing, asking, and then finding out.
I want to talk about my prepubescent.
No, we're done with the Campanelli hand job tales.
All right.
Yeah.
Was that a canceled show on SNCC?
Campanelli hand job tales?
Tonight, I call to order the meeting of the Campanelli hand job tales. Throw the salt on the fire.
The original Little Rascals.
Oh, man.
Okay, so in New York, what? You're around, obviously, in one of the meccas for stand-up comedy,
yes.
And you probably get a chance to go see shows at that stage in the game. So where are you getting the most experience and where are you going to watch
this,
the most?
This is what happens. I'm in college. I'm writing material like crazy. I have material written that I have that I still have from when I was like 19.
Wow.
I'm making my ex-girlfriend, my college ex-girlfriend, she's sitting down. I'm making her listen to all my material. So she's sitting down. I'm on like a little Tykes microphone and I'm doing the material for her. And then like my friends, like I would go, they'd be pre-gaming and they'd make me do stand-up for them. And they'd all be like, you gotta go do stand-up. But I don't know, man. I was worried they were gonna heckle me. I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I graduated college, like I was taking theater classes in college, but no one knew I was doing it. Like I had my advisor switch around some prerequisites so I could take some theater classes, but no one knew I was doing it. And then after college, I was like, shit, like I don't know. And even some of my friends were like, dude, what are you gonna do when we graduate? Like you can't have a regular job, you know? Just one of them's like, I feel like you're gonna write children's books or something like that, you know? So I was like,
that's a polite way of saying serial killer.
Yeah. So I'm gonna,
you gave off creative vibes, right?
I started like writing, you know, I wrote some shorts. I wanted to like produce them. I didn't even know what that meant. I was paying for a manager in New York that was like sending me out on auditions just so I can audition.
For what?
Like bad stuff, like student films and you know, like smut and.
Oh, jeez.
No, like
Skinamax films. Like he like saw me in Girls Gone Wild. He wanted to advance my career.
Well, because I mean, everyone has to do student films. I mean, there's so many of those. I did to get a reel. And like some of them are great. Some of them are
Dude, I did this thing called "So You Want to Be a Star" on like a local New York City channel where you had to perform a monologue in front of judges. And I did a scene from Swingers that I didn't even memorize, and it must have been very bad to watch. And it aired.
It aired.
I think I might have gotten a copy.
So you just butchered the model. Like
I don't. I think I was so nervous.
You started making it. Okay.
I don't know. I never acted.
Did your parents say anything to you after? Did anybody say?
No one came. I didn't tell anyone.
Good move.
Yeah. No. And then so I was doing that for a while, and then like I was like, okay, look, I don't know what it was, but I just couldn't get myself to start. And I was like, I got to do this. So at 24, I moved to LA. I got a job at TV Guide Network. And I worked there for my first year out here, 24 to 25.
Doing what, like interning or something?
PA to AP.
Okay.
I moved from PA to AP. And I was interviewing on the red carpet. Actually, the first red carpet I ever went to, I was the PA on it, and I dressed really nice. And the AP was this dude who was over it. He was not a happy camper. And he just went to go get food, and he just left. And the camera guys were like, who's going to interview? Where did he go? And I was like, I think he just said he went to go get food. They're like, but they're walking down the carpet. We need someone to, my first red carpet in LA. And they go, dude, you got to do it. And I was like, what am I supposed to even like say? And they were like, I was like, what event are we even at? This is my first red carpet. I'm dressed like Seacrest. Like,
so perfect.
So then they were like, just, it's Comedy for a Cure. You know, just tell, ask them about why they're here and if they do a lot of these benefits. Like, just start off like that. And I was like, oh, okay. First person is fucking Jeff Ross. I told Jeff about this. I have the tape and I need to show it.
Yeah, you do.
He roasts me. My first ever red carpet. My first ever interview. Just moved to LA. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be saying. No prior experience of doing this.
Walked into a buzzsaw.
And Jeff Ross roast me. He goes, I go, hey Jeff, it's great to see you. And he goes, yeah, you too. Why do you look so nervous? Right at the back.
And for someone who's nervous, that's the worst thing.
And I was like,
to hear.
Oh, I don't know. It's my, it's funny because if you watch it, you'll go, you handled that. I went, well, yeah, I don't know. It's my first red carpet. And he was like,
great.
And he goes,
acknowledge it.
He goes, oh, wow, what happened? Someone cancel? And I was like,
actually, they went to get food and didn't come back. So kind of.
So, no, but I didn't know what this. I didn't know what he meant by that. Like, yeah, I literally didn't get
it.
So
was
I was
joking.
Like, oh, no. And I went like that. And he goes, no, I mean, why'd they send you? Did someone else cancel? And I go, no, I guess I just saw potential. And then he goes, oh, what'd you do? Leave it home? And then I go, oh, man, that was a good one. He goes, I think you should have worn a nicer shirt, man. And I was like, yeah, it's a little, I probably could have ironed it. He goes, no, I'm kidding. You're doing a great job, man. Doing a great job. Cool. And then it was whatever. But that was my first.
Wow.
Yeah. And
taste of the biz.
God.
And then,
of course, it's Ross.
Who else?
That wasn't my first taste of the biz. My first taste of the biz, I was already prepared for this. I had rejection since first grade.
That's right.
You think I didn't think this was going to happen to me? Of course that's going to happen to me. Yeah. I'm ready.
Who else came through?
Terry Hatcher.
Hey, Lois.
Yeah. And I don't remember. It was a bunch of people. And I just remember being like, I had no idea. And then the girl next to me was really cute. And she was on, like, she was with some outlet that, like, didn't exist, but, like, they were there. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. when I was little. So she, like, we, like, exchanged information. We started, you know, hanging out a little bit. And then we went on, and I guess she thought I was, like, a reporter for TV Guide Network.
Well, I mean, you got Jeff Ross.
Yeah. So then we went out to dinner. She ordered, I'll never forget, she ordered so much food and then handed me her resume.
Now,
and no, and did you read the resume and be like, nowhere here does it describe your blowjob skills?
I was still kind of like pre-college bro jock phase, so I wasn't like, all right, this is hilarious. Like now, if that was to happen, yeah, that's what I would. That's what I would do.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, well,
but why would she assume that TV Guide? I guess was it at the time like a big? She thought you could. Is a reporter at TV Guide? Is that like a? That's like a job.
I mean, at the time. The host of my show that I worked on, Hollywood 411, was Chris Harrison, who's the host of The Bachelor Bachelorette.
Okay.
So they had a moment where they had, you know, for someone trying to be an entertainment reporter.
Joan Rivers was eventually there.
She was there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you were like, this world isn't for me. I need to find more of
creative outlet. I wanted to do stand-up. And I was like, and I went to the VP programming, and he's a really nice guy, and I actually knew, you know, I had some ties to him a little bit. So, and I said, you know, this has been a great opportunity. I said, but, and he said, no, I know it's a good first job. I know you didn't like leave your family to come do this, you know. So
to talk to Jeff Ross on the red carpet.
Yeah. So, I had bigger goals, and it was a great experience. I got a great lay of the land from it. That's what I got, and I got some good contacts. There was a few people who I'm still in contact with that were, and then. I left. I was there for about a year. I left, and then I went to my first open mic that week. I said, "Fuck it, I got to do this." I started going to a couple comedy shows. I actually saw Jeff Ross again at another benefit someone brought me to. They were like, "I know that you want to do comedy. Like, I'll come to the show with me." And then, are you yawning during me talking about how I started stand-up?
I am. I was waiting for this to segue into like, so, okay. My first boob shot. Yeah.
So I went. Yeah. So I went to my first open mic. No.
Fuck, dude.
So I went to my first open mic that week. That week that I left.
Yeah.
The week that I left.
Get to the boob sucking.
Dude, that's all you guys want to hear.
I just had a flash to Brad in 20 years. Whether it's his kids or his friend's kids, and they're telling a story, and they're only like 10, and he's like, get to the boob sucking.
That's so funny. I just see him with a pencil in his hand going, all right. When do you start sucking boobs again?
Again, they're 10, but all right, yeah, good call.
All right, that's great. So is this a callback into a callback at any time?
Oh, yeah, keep going.
So then I left the job, and then that week, I went to my first open mic at the Ha Ha. I had my buddy record me on his HD camera. Nice. And then I literally went, I loved it. And I went, and I never stopped going.
What'd you love about it? On.
Well, first off, I wasn't nervous about being on stage, really. Like, I didn't have that stage fright that a lot of people have because, A, I played sports and big games before and, like, people watching you and stuff.
And you've
know?
Been the cowardly lion.
And also,
there's a similar,
I'll tell you what. Sure. What's worse, what I thought was harder than that was interviewing on the red carpet with no experience and then having to do like, hey guys, we're here at TV Guide Network and, you know, or something like, we're here at the premiere of Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell and you're never going to guess who can't. Like, I was not good at that.
By the way, I wanted to reach across the table and punch you in the face.
Yeah, Chris D'Elia and Brent Morin. He used to make me send them my reel of TV Guide Network because Chris said it was, he actually made me take it off YouTube. But he loved watching it.
Of course,
take that
of course
down.
He did. Also, that thing you're
come a long
like
way.
To because as you're saying those words, as you're saying,
I would
those
take a
words,
job at TV Guide. Just,
yeah.
That being said, if you guys are looking to rehire the Campanelli,
it's Pop Network now. It's not even.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But I don't even know how you say stuff like that. Like I don't know how Seacrest and Mario Lopez says those things without sounding cheesy.
But the thing is, I didn't really know what I was doing. So not only was I doing it, you'd have like Justin Long's publicist like looking at you with this face like, man, and it was really uncomfortable. So, and if she's listening, I'm sure you're great. But
Justin
at the
Long's
time, I just remember
his Gollum.
Yeah, it's Lord of the Rings character apparently.
Really?
Well, the voice you did.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Yeah. Well, I don't know what she was he or she was doing, but I just remember the look, and I remember it was his publicist, and she was looking at me like, maybe I was like too close to her when I was doing it because I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So I just remember like that to me was really tough. Like I would sweat. So on stage, I just liked it. I liked the freedom of it. I knew I was going to like it. I already had so much material written. I already had like jokes written like out, you know, and it was drawing from my life too. It wasn't like I hit the ground running. I was ready. So I went every night after that. Like I went, this is it. And I haven't looked, I've been doing comedy for like, you know, it'll be 7.5 months, 7.5 years soon. And yeah. I never stopped. I never took a break. Like, I, you know, some people, and you guys work hard, you know, some people will say like, oh, my first year, I kind of did. It's like, no, dude, I went my first open mic. And so I've been doing comedy for almost seven and a half years, like straight, no breaks, never, you know, so numerous open mics from the beginning on, you know, I
how bad were those open mics? How bad and good? You know what I'm saying?
Because
you're pumped to be doing it and getting on stage, but you're also, everyone has that moment where they're just like, man, how can I stop doing these and get to the next step?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing with me. When I went, I really was like, I went there with a mission to work on my material. Like I really wanted to get good. And I understood that. I understood that, like, I'm not good. I want to get good. And my buddy said to me, he's like, you have an amazing stage presence. And I was like, thanks. He goes, no, dude, when I was taping you, I couldn't believe. And then some girl actually came up to me after and was like, oh, you're working on new stuff. And I was like, no, it's my first time. And she was like, what? I thought that was a joke. Like, it sounded like you were just working on stuff. And I was like, oh, like, that's really nice of you. And I enjoyed it at first. And then I remember it got weird when I started to realize how like catty it was, and how like,
yeah, especially at those levels,
people like, because I was like a really happy-go-lucky, like excited to be there guy, just want to get on stage, work on my stuff. I remember like I was like a month or two in, and I was at Comedy Store, and some comic came up to me who I know now, and he's actually I like him a lot, and he was being nice. He didn't even realize what he was saying, but he came up to me, he's like, John Campanelli? And I was like, yeah. He goes, oh, what's up, dude? And I wasn't at the HaHa open mic that night. He goes, I just came from the HaHa open mic. Everyone was shitting on you on stage. And I remember being like, what? Like, I wasn't like, cool. I was like hurt. I was like,
yeah.
Why? And he was like, oh, dude, you're like a celebrity over there. And I was like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, I didn't get what he was saying. And he was like, you know, they were just going on and taking turns, like talking shit about you. It was like, oh, it was out of love. And I was like, I don't know these people. And I wasn't there. And right. And I remember that like kind of stuck with me, and then like it just got kind of weird, you know, because I was like, why can't we all just be cool to each other, you know, like we're all kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because my mindset was always like, let's help each other out.
Sure.
If someone's a fan of me, they can be a fan of you. It's not like they can be a fan of me and then they're like, I'm already a fan of one comedian, can't listen anymore.
Yeah.
So I never run.
The best part of this art form is you get
I only
to,
like one band and I've only seen one movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can be, you know, and if they people love entertainment. People love entertainment and they will pay for entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's like if they want to listen to more comedy, they'll go listen to it.
What was a more satisfying experience? Putting out an album? New Phone, Who Dis?
New Phone, Who Is This? Was my second one.
Yeah.
Nervous was the first
one. Yes, thank you.
Or going on tour with Dan Cook?
They're so different.
Okay, we'll break them down.
Okay, well, the album was personally great for me.
I'm going to pick this story up. This is fucking real.
When do you start sucking titties?
Yeah, you don't even know what happened, actually. I got the. So I'm sucking this titty.
It's a Dane Cook tour. There could be some titty sucking.
Yep, sucking tons of tits. While I'm thinking about Nervous, I'm like, what's going to inspire me?
Yeah.
I got to suck some tits.
Okay.
So the albums were great because they got, you know, I got to like, I did it myself. I did it 100% myself. And that was, you know, interesting for me to have to figure out how to do it. Nervous was really difficult because, so what happened was a buddy of mine from high school is a musician and he has like a really small production company. And they're like, well, do you want to do a comedy album? And I was like, yeah, I want to do one. And I had the material, you know, and I'm still happy. I put it out after 3 years and I'm still happy with it. It's, you know, so what happened was too small of a production company. I sold out the stand in New York City two nights to do it. And he didn't really want to tell me that they didn't really get the audio that well. Some of it was a little fucked up. So then I did a third pickup, and he wanted to use all of the audio from the third show, which was the pickup, which was like half full. And I was just working on seeing alternatives to stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, no, I want to use the first two. And he was like, I think we should use this one. And I was like, dude, why? And he basically told me all three weren't consistent with each other. And I was like, well, that's a big deal. So then I was like, well, what am I going to do? I pitched this as an album recording. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. So what I did was, luckily, I hired someone, paid him $100 to record it, to tape it, videotape it. And they must have put it, because the stand is a small club.
Yeah.
They must have put it in the perfect spot, right in the middle of the audience, right next to a speaker. And I was able to strip the audio from the video.
Cool.
And then I was able to find someone that could master it enough that it was audible.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I put out Nervous. So for me, it was not giving up. And it was being like obstacles, which I just seem to always have to fucking face. And I was like, you know, and we all do, whatever.
Sure.
And I was like, I'm putting this album out. And then I got that done. And then that made the second one just a piece of cake. And then the second one, I had a lot of stuff about, a lot of dating stuff on it that I knew I was going to get tired of telling because it was really relevant then.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I was like, I want to get this out. And then the second one sounds amazing.
And is a mass text joke? Is that on that one?
That is actually on the first one.
Okay.
And then
describe your hatred for mass text. Because I love that bit.
Yeah. Oh, thanks so much. Well, it's not called mass text anymore, which people love to point out on the internet. But when I did the joke and they put the clip out and I did the joke on my album, it was called the mass text at the time. So now it's called like what a, what's it called?
Group
now?
Text.
Group text, you know, group message.
Okay.
I got this, no joke, this girl texted me to tell us that she was engaged, that she got engaged on a group text.
Yeah, which isn't exactly personal.
Yeah, like to like a, and I get back to my phone and my phone's blown and I was like, what is this? And there was like something like 36 or something text messages from, I forgot how many I sent, but whatever I sent on the joke, it was like 30 something text messages. And it was like the most hilarious responses. And I haven't done this joke in so long, but it was like, The best one was someone said, "That's my slutty bitch," which was like hilarious because I don't know who the number is. So I didn't know if it was like a guy, that which is weird to read as like a guy being like, "That's my slutty bitch," or if it was a girl being like, "That's my slutty bitch."
Or like
bitch.
The grandma,
The grandma, yeah. Yeah, I didn't know if that was like real.
That was, her
that was like,
for it, yeah.
Wow. And then someone at the end of it said, "New phone, who is this?" Which is hilarious. I don't know if that person was, you know,
sincere,
sincere, or but I was like, that is so well played.
That's great.
Regardless,
how much of that material would you do on tour with Dan? And first of all, that was your first big tour, right? To get on like
my first big tour, it was incredible to play. You know, to play a theater and then arenas.
Come on.
I mean, there's just there's nothing, dude. That's the pinnacle of what, you know. That's what we want to do. That's the goal.
Yeah,
sold out theaters and arenas, and it was like the crowds in Canada were almost too good, and it was just like, I liked it because I like big stages, and it made me realize I'm a big show comic. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. I hope that doesn't come out like that. But I realized when I hit that stage and there was that many people, this is fucking me. This is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it just, it felt right. When I got on that stage, it was like, you know, like this is it. This
did
is
you find
showbiz.
Did you find yourself amping up your energy or your like physicality just to match the room?
No. My cadence fit well with the room.
Yeah.
And it, I was really, really happy with how the whole tour went. I mean, the Beacon Theater, I was just,
I've done that.
New crazy. York Comedy Festival, Beacon Theater, sold out.
2,500.
And I was in the zone.
Yeah. And they're stacked on
there's
you
a picture
in that theater.
Of me coming out like this. I came out like
full
this.
Christ pose.
Yeah. And I just felt it. And I don't know why. And, you know, I knew a lot of people had bought tickets to see me.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, because I'm from New York.
From New York, yeah.
And there was people there to see Dane that went to college with me that didn't even know I was on the show.
Oh, what was that like?
So
that
they
had
were
to be
like,
amazing.
The story behind that's crazy because, like, afterwards, this girl, she was like looking at me like,
sorry, man. I'm really trying to time these yawns.
I know it's weird. It's really, but she came up to me. She
like,
was
like, I hear
well,
you say
you
the
suck.
Word story, and it's just
I,
like,
I know what you're good. You know, I know I've heard about your sucking hats, and I didn't know you did this. And
that's what she said.
And, no, but so she was like, we're watching the show. We're there to see Dane Cook, and all of a sudden, we're clapping, like, all right, come on the stage, John Campanelli. And she was like, wait, I know him. That's what she said happened. She was like, oh, I know this guy.
Yeah.
Because the guy, there was another guy friend there that was like, you know, saying that she was saying that. She was like, she started freaking out, like, I went to college with him. I went to college with that guy. And then, you know, that's what happened. Now she comes to a lot of my shows.
See, now look, if that story were to end properly, and for the movie, it's Lindsay who's there who goes, I know that guy. And she's there with Alex McMullen.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're
no, going. No, he didn't do anything with her, though.
Alex McMullen actually is working the stage crew.
Yes.
And he's like, I know that guy.
This is a great. Dude, we shouldn't even be saying it over this. We need to be writing this down.
You should be writing this down.
I'm writing it down.
It's do you ever think about these experiences and try to.
Yeah. I mean, that's where my stand-up comes from, all this stuff, you know? Like, I really do.
What do you write about right now? Like, what's the, like, in today, did something happen where you were like, oh, that could be a bit?
Well, my girlfriend's kid's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So I've got some of that stuff going. And, I've had some family stuff that I've been writing recently. I love having stuff about my family. It's great. And I felt like I kind of went cold on that for a little while.
Sure, because it's personal to you.
And I write to where I am in the moment. So it's like whatever's going on right now. And then hopefully I pick up some gems along the way. But
now you're worried earlier that your life was getting too good. Is there some shit in your life now that you're able to write about?
Well, this is really funny. I've picked up an old hobby.
Heroin.
I've been doing a lot of heroin and sucking boobs, dude.
Oh, Jesus.
That's how I pay for the heroin. I didn't say they were female boobs.
I suck on boobs and pay for heroin.
If you deep dig enough into Craigslist, there's a lot
honestly,
of weird fetishes.
That wouldn't be the. If you really need a lot of heroin, sucking boobs isn't the worst
pretty
thing
great.
To do for heroin.
Male boobs? Yeah. Think about, there's got to be, look, we've all been in places in our lives where we're like, we need cash. You know what I'm saying? Like, I dressed up as Superman for some kids' birthday parties
that's
once.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I've been a dwarf for 33 years because I needed money.
Yeah. Oh my God, he's choking.
That's so funny. You reveal one day when you're rich and famous and you're like, yeah, dude, I'm not a dwarf.
It's just...
It worked.
Yeah. It's just... Want to thank
sacrificed
all.
Sacrificed a lot, but
want to thank George Lucas and the whole crew of Industrial Light and Magic and Jim Henson's Muppet Show. Oh my God, you guys were great.
The greatest
CGI costume.
Yeah.
What if you're like that wasn't fucking worth it? Oh my God. That's but so yeah, I picked up an old hobby of
of what
of collecting baseball and football cards.
Whoa!
Oh shit!
And here's the problem. My girlfriend's now involved with it too. She likes doing it.
That's the first time in history that sentence has ever been
said.
Yeah,
and she
my girlfriend is helping me collect baseball and football cards.
But she has more money than me, so she buys a
boxes?
Lot more than I do.
Like, how exciting is that?
No, it's like, not. Really. It's not mine.
Oh, you created a monster.
Because she's beating you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, weird. She has like 10 Aaron Judge rookie cards, and I have not one. I have like three Andrew Benintendi's, but I don't have any Aaron Judge's. And she opens them up, like now she gets them, she's like, oh, another Aaron Judge. And I'm like, this is ridiculous, man. She's getting like Topps Chrome 5 autograph boxes. I'm getting like a blaster box of Panini for $20 every now and then. It's like, it's.
Is Fleer Ultra still big? Or
no,
Don Russ?
No, Don Russ, yes.
Topps, yeah.
Topps got bought by Panini.
I don't like that.
For football.
Okay.
So now it's every top.
I have a bunch of cards still back home.
Panini.
They're not worth anything anymore, by the way.
That's not necessarily
except
true.
Except for the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card you got for your birthday last year.
I do have
year.
That. Yeah, that's worth something emotionally.
but she's being really cute. That's a great card.
Yeah.
No, they're still worth something, and they're cool.
I have a signed Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Randy Johnson ball.
That's great. That's
but
that's
what are they worth?
No, they're still worth something. I mean, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. I'm a Cowboys fan.
Mm-hmm.
And their rookie cards, so that like that's like what got me back into them, is like wanting their rookie cards. So I started, but she wants to like, she's really cute about it, but like what she doesn't understand, it's like she wanted to trade. She wants like, at one point she's like, we can like trade, and I was like, no.
Why,
dude? That's gonna lead to a fight for sure. Because here's the deal, I'm not giving you a deal on the trade,
right?
I'm trading to get better than what I'm this is business.
Yeah.
I'm not parting with my
right.
So then either I'm going to get her to give me something that she doesn't want to, and then she's going to hold that over my head, or, you know,
by the way, I love that baseball cards as a fight is now like in the rotation of things to pull up as like bargaining chips later. Like, you get in a fight over something else, like a restaurant or some weird sex move that nobody made good on, you know, like, well, oh, you said you were going to do the 89 tonight. Well, maybe if you hadn't traded me your 89 Aaron Judge, nobody wants an 89 Judge. You're like,
no, so, but then if I give her a good deal, I'm not going to be happy about it.
Right.
So it's like, this is not something that we should be doing as a couple. We shouldn't be trading our cards. We should, you know,
go to trade shows maybe and do it with other people.
But she's like organizing them. She's really into it. She's got an impressive collection now.
She's owning you in this hobby of yours.
Yeah, it really is hard to watch. It's fun because she'll let me open the packs with her. I guess that's fun.
Have you had these conversations in therapy? Because that would be hilarious.
I know, but we should.
You saying to the therapist, she's got an impressive collection. It's like her binders are bigger.
It's
like,
a little, it's, quite frankly, it's a little emasculating.
I want this.
This is my thing. She took it. She went overboard with it. I can have nothing. Do you understand? Yeah. I can have nothing.
I don't want this to happen to you, but I want this to be on like a Judge Judy episode where like a couple breaks up because of the baseball card collecting.
We got one night we got into a little argument idea. And I was like, I was at her place and all my cards were at her place and I was like, I'm leaving. And I took my cards. She goes, you fucking are obsessed with those cards. And I had them in my hand.
You love the cards more than me. Yeah,
and then she almost went to like grab them and I was like, don't you dare touch the cards.
Don't you dare touch Ichiro. I swear to God,
oh
bitch.
Oh my
you
God.
Touch Ichiro, I will fuck you up.
That's so funny. You know what though? Like,
it's awesome.
I love that you're thinking outside the box as far as like other thing. Like, that's a new hobby. I mean, with new hobbies come new fights.
But it's great. It really takes, like, now I'll treat myself to a box if I have, like, you know, a couple good gigs or like something. Or if I have a good month, I'll like treat myself.
It's your vice. Yeah, because you're not a big drug vice. Or booze guy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll have a drink here or there, but like, I don't really.
Whoa, slow down. Take his keys. No, but if you, but yeah, like baseball cards is your, what else? How else do you?
I would suck boobs for baseball.
What else? Good ones. Hilarious. Somebody isolate that audio. What are your real, like, vices, though, other than, if it's not, the fun stuff.
I don't really have that many, which is why I need more.
If you have an open weekend, what are you doing?
Dude, I'm kind of becoming a huge homebody, which I liked at first because I used to be super social, but now I'm starting to go, I need to be social again. I it's like a phase. I used to go out all the time. I used to party, but like I didn't do drugs or really drink. But I used to go out and be social. And then with stand up, it's like I kind of stopped. Going out and
associate that with work. We go out with work.
And I actually will like sink into series. Like I just finished watching Dexter in its entirety.
There you go.
Which was
nothing wrong with that.
So good.
Yeah. Really?
Have you seen it?
No, I just started the Golden Girls. But I'm gonna binge watch all the shows from the 80s.
That's great. I watched Cheers recently.
It still holds up.
It took me like 2 months to finish, but I watched every episode, every season.
I'm just now, this is crazy, if I were to name the amount of shows that I haven't seen that like is on the list of everyone's like, you haven't seen that show, it would boggle your mind.
Well,
Sopranos, haven't seen it. Breaking Bad, haven't seen it. Game of Thrones, haven't seen it.
My two people from someone from
I
my
feel
hometown,
like as
but
a
I've
way,
seen every I, episode I, of Fresh Prince yes. of Bel-Air.
Someone from my hometown pulled the biggest gangster move on The Sopranos. She's Emily Wickersham. She's an actress. She's a great actress. She's on, I think, CSI now.
Cool.
Went to high school with her. She's beautiful, sweetheart, awesome.
Sorry, dude. I'm really
get to the boob sucking.
Hold it together.
So this one time, dude. No.
What about
she? She wasn't an actress. She was not an actress. She was like a girl you would think would go to a good college, get straight A's, and then go have a good job in something. All of a sudden, I heard something about her not going to school anymore, which was crazy because she was all American girl. She was perfect, and then all of a sudden. Someone's like, yeah, dude, I think Emily Wickersham's on The Sopranos. And then the last season of The Sopranos, she just shows up like a gangster on The Sopranos as Rhiannon, which was AJ's girlfriend. And then she goes to Thanksgiving, like Thanksgiving Eve, we all go out and party at the bars. And then she goes there like she's not on the fucking Sopranos out of nowhere. And I was like, Emily Wickersham, you're on The Sopranos. You don't even, what? Like, I don't even know what that, like, dude, she never didn't have an acting background. Yeah. Nothing, dude. Like, played field hockey. All of a sudden, just like went to college, went to like a good school, and then next thing I know, she wasn't going to school anymore, and she's on The Sopranos. And now she's like a successful actress. It blew my mind.
Well, that's gonna be you.
No, people at this point are like, why the fuck aren't you in movies? That's so, I'm the opposite. I'm actually the, when I get in something, they're gonna go
finally,
because I was starting to get tired of this guy.
That's every set of family and friends, though, right? It's all like they put us all. I mean, the first 5 years of me in this business, like I would go home and like friends and even in college that knew me, they were like, "You still doing comedy?" And I was like, "Yeah." They're like, "Cause I haven't seen any Adam Sandler movies." And it's like everyone has their own barometer of like what, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're doing it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you're like, yeah, I'm doing these open mics. I'm going to these shows. Like it takes a while. They're like, I don't know, man. It took Ashton Kutcher like 2 years. You're like, Jesus Christ, where are you getting these like references for
dude,
success?
Dude, how funny is that when people talk about celebrities that you know and tell you stories about the celebrity that you know is not true?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
You're like, I'm grinding. They're like, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen were discovered at a Starbucks in their strollers that they pushed themselves in. You're like, not true.
Oh, my God. This one time someone was, one of my cousins, like a second cousin or something, was telling me about Dane Cook. I try to tell him I'm friends with the guy. I know him.
Yeah.
They didn't absorb it. Like, he didn't. He was like, oh,
no,
yeah,
but
yeah,
you
yeah.
don't
like,
understand.
No, but this is what, yeah.
Of me on stage with him.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not you, bro.
Literally didn't believe me and continued to tell me about how he started, his life, all this stuff. Nothing he was saying was even true.
They're like, apparently his house has like a cool pool. You're like, yeah, I'll show you me diving into it. Like, nah, dude, but his pool's got like a bigger splash thing.
It does look like it, but
but yeah. Why would you be there?
Is that the wax museum or
the Dane Cook pool at the wax museum? That's next level fame.
That's when that would finally get me into Madame Tussauds if they started doing celebrity pools.
That would be great.
Yeah.
You could walk on the pool. One of the pools is a real pool. You didn't know which one.
But your pool would just be a bathtub. Yeah. So, John.
That'd be cool. Celebrity bathtubs.
He does have a cool pool.
I do.
Oh, really?
It's the favorite of my friend's pools.
Get both of John's albums. Go on iTunes.
Yep.
This is so much fun.
New Phone. Who is this? Nervous. They're both on there. And if you're in Los Angeles, you have a regular show at the Laugh Factory.
I'm there once a month. I'm actually there. When is this going to be?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so perfect. My show's on Wednesday. And
next Wednesday.
This Wednesday coming
up. Oh, shit. All right. Okay, well, what a great show it was.
It was fantastic.
Wow, the show Wednesday was great.
Leonardo DiCaprio was there. Yes. Who knows who's going to be there next month?
Well, really, if we were on it, we'd bump it up to tomorrow. But
yeah, thanks.
I'm joking.
That would be great. Can we get ticket sales from it?
Probably.
Okay, great. Okay. Maybe.
Well, we can promote the next one on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, go
but
see.
But I want to get you guys. I want to get you guys. You've done them. You've done them. You've
seen them a bunch. It's a great show.
I need to get you on one soon.
It's been a while. Yeah.
I asked you.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No. I don't like you very much.
I'm around Wednesday.
Anyway. Are you?
Yeah.
Don't
just because we're here. Like sometimes that's hot. Look.
Hey man. Yeah, I'll text you about it later.
When he's sucking some boobs.
It is a monthly show. It's great. But you perform all over, and you're great.
I do.
You're fun to watch.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You are.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys want to go get my albums, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, no, Brad just said that. But so, yeah, for sure. Just listen to when people talk. But so, your albums are out and you're on the road and
sucking boobs in a town near you.
Man, are you on Twitter?
I'm on social media, John Campanelli 1.
At sucking boobs 6969.
Can I tell you something really quickly?
Sure.
So please follow me because I'm going to tell you why.
Oh.
I'm at John Campanelli 1. Now, I'm not going to follow you back. I need a good ratio. Obviously, you guys know that. Whatever. Thank you. But at John Campanelli 1, all the John Campanellis are chewed up by this guy who is like an editor in some like online magazine in like Cleveland, right? He's like 50 or something. This motherfucker, he got arrested for indecent exposure.
Oh no.
So with my name.
Yeah.
And he's and
yikes.
He's, this is the fucked up
and he's
part.
He's in show business.
He's verified. Kind of. I'm not verified.
The
he's got
fuck?
All the John Campanellis arrested, actually like convicted of it. So he emails me December 2015 and he's like,
want to trade?
He goes, "Hey man, so I don't know if you Googled our names." I didn't know who this was. He got my email, my comedy email off my website. He's like, "I don't know if you Googled our names or I don't know if you want to or anything, but I'm going through a tough time. So I thought I'd do a good deed and maybe, you know, give back a little bit. If you want," he's got the johncampanelli@gmail.com email too. So like he's got he's got all that. So he's like,
"In case you want to email a pervert.
If you want this email," yeah, fuck the guy because this is why I don't care.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I would be like, "Oh, whatever," but he's like, "Do you want my email and also my social media handles as like good faith? I'll let you have them." And at first I was like, that's so nice of him. But then I went, wait a second. He's getting hate tweets.
Yeah.
He wants me to absorb all of his hate. So I take his shit and then everyone's tweeting to me that I'm like some sex offender.
Mm-hmm.
So I could use the follows. John Campanelli 1. John Campanelli 1.
I mean, you and him should go on the road.
This goes
the Campanellis.
No, that's a terrible idea.
All right, well, I didn't say it was a great idea. I said it was an idea.
Might get arrested after night one, but whatever.
Obstacles, man. It's just like, now someone with my name, it's like, that would suck too. You have to worry, hope that's someone
with your
name.
You know what? Let's just make it even, because John Campanelli, this other guy, he flashed a lot of people.
Yeah.
So a lot of people should flash you in return. So send your dick pics to JohnCampanelli1.
Thanks, guys.
At Twitter.
So I was hoping we'd come with this.
JohnCampanelli1 on Twitter. Just send all the dick pics. Just all
what
the
if
dick
you
pics.
Just get some
as long as they're of age
inbox.
As long as they're of age, you know, they're legal age, consenting adults, send them all the dick pics.
What would you do?
And that way the
hypothetical.
And that way the universe is just sort of back even.
Hypothetical, real quick. What would you do if you woke up tomorrow morning with 50 emails of dick pics?
I don't even
know. How many would you click on before you go, this is crazy?
How many would I click on before I went? What's my threshold till I'm finally like, this is crazy?
Yeah.
Wow, the first couple, but this is now crazy. If I even got one, I would just be like, oh no.
So send those dick pics
because
at John Campanelli
one. Because people search my name like on Twitter or something, and they just see a bunch of at mentions with dick pics.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.